Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, welcome to Same Spirit of Faith Radio. My name is Reverend Howard Novasky, and this is Shannon Fife. Shannon, you want to introduce yourself, buddy?
Hello, I'm here. My name is Shannon Fife.
And so like I said, my name is Reverend Howard. My wife and I are traveling ministers out of Arkansas, and Reverend Shannon, why don't you talk about where you're from a little bit?
I am from Campton, Kentucky.
Awesome. So those of you who tuned in last week, it was a one-man show because we couldn't figure out technology, but we got it right this week. So if you missed last week and this is the first time you're listening, I think you can go back and listen to it because we were starting out and we're going to continue talking about our authority as believers in Christ. And this is a very important subject. Before we get started, so Shannon and I are going to be doing this every week right here. And so we have an email address if you want to reach out to us, if you want a prayer request, if you want to argue and yell at us. It doesn't matter. It is same spirit of faith, all one word, no periods, no dots, same spirit of faith at proton, P-R-O-T-O-N, proton.me. And you're welcome to email us with questions, comments, prayer requests, anything you want to do. So just so we probably won't argue back with you too much, we'll bring the word, but we're not about to argue with folks. So this week we're going to keep talking about our authority as believers. So our core scripture, if you will, core verses is Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verses 15 through 23. Now, part of this is something that is referred to as Paul's Ephesian prayer. It's a prayer that he prayed over the church at Ephesus all the time. And it's a prayer that you and I can pray over each other all the time. Shannon, do you use this prayer quite a bit?
Oh, yes, I pray it. Matter of fact, I run it off. You can get it off of Kenneth Copeland's website.
Oh, yeah, that's great. This is a prayer I pray. I try to pray this every day, sometimes multiple times a day. Sometimes this is the last prayer I pray right before falling asleep at night. So Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now, here's what Paul is about to say, what he prays for the church at Ephesus. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." And now we're going to go into verses 19 through 23, "so that you would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he, God, worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Brother Shannon, you want to talk a little bit about the Ephesians prayer, like who to pray it over, who not to pray it over, like what it's designed for?
Yeah, we can pray it for ourselves. We can pray it for our family members. You can pray it for other people, and it will really help them to grow and see things, you know, more clear in the Word of God and have revelation concerning the things that God has for us.
Oh, my goodness, yes, that's powerful right there. Now, one thing to note, too, this is not a prayer you pray over the unsaved. Like, if it's somebody who's not a Christian, you wouldn't pray this over them because the eyes of their understanding can't be enlightened because they're not born again. They're not new creatures in Christ, like 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. It has to be for those who are born again. But you can pray this over yourself, over fellow Christians, over your pastor. I highly recommend at minimum you pray it over yourself and over your family as well. So let's kind of keep moving forward a little bit. So we read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Then it goes into Ephesians 2. So we're going to read Ephesians 2, 6. Now, we have to keep in mind when Paul wrote the letter to the church at Ephesus, he didn't write it in chapter and verse. He didn't go, okay, church at Ephesus, I came to verse 23, we're going to start a whole new thought because I'm going into chapter 2, right? He wrote it all as one letter. So Ephesians 2:6 says, "And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So Brother Shannon, what does that mean? What does that mean to you?
Oh, that is our that is where we are seated, far above. In other words, we are Satan's master. If the we're in the same position with Christ, in Christ, we're one spirit with the Lord Jesus.
Woo, that's right. That's powerful. Keep going, brother. That's awesome.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, that's how close we are to Jesus. You hear a lot of people say, I just want to be closer to Jesus. You can't get no closer than being seated with Christ and one spirit with the Lord Jesus and being in Christ.
No, you cannot. It's God in you, and you are part of the body of Christ. But it's interesting. So it says, in the mind of God, you and I were raised up with Christ when Christ was raised. So if you take that verse, brother, and you couple that with Ephesians 1:20, which says that Jesus is seated at God's right hand in the heavenly places, you take both those two verses together, in Christ, that means you and I are seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. Glory to God.
Yes.
So if you're listening right now, Brother Shannon and I, listen, we are only trying to get you to change the position you see yourself in. So many Christians, and not faulting anybody or not judging anybody, but so many Christians do not know that our position as a believer in Christ is not in a position of defeat. We are not in a position where the devil should just be able to operate in our lives and the lives of our families all willy-nilly and whatnot. That right there is an Arkansas statement, all willy-nilly and whatnot. You and I are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. We are sitting the same place Jesus is, spiritually speaking, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion. And Brother Shannon and anyone who's listened, we should operate in life every single day from a position of victory in Jesus Christ. Because you know what? If Jesus was here right now, he would be operating in that position of victory. But you know, it says in 1 John, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Amen. Brother Shannon, what else you got?
Christ's victory is our victory.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
And 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, he always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. That word triumph means to win. No matter what the situation is, when we as faith people live by faith, we know the outcome, we always win. No matter what it looks like, we always win.
That's powerful. And real quick, just so the folks know, what does the word always mean in the Greek?
Always.
Always means always. If you are listening, if your faith is in Christ and you know what the Word of God says, you will always, always, always triumph in Christ. Amen. Well, listen, if you're following along in the Word of God in the Bible today, turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, because we're going to talk a little bit more about these principalities and powers and whatnot, but we're not going to talk about it from the sense of what's this demon's name and what's this principality over this city. We're not going to get into that stuff. Ephesians chapter 6, 12, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Listen, folks, we are not wrestling with flesh and blood in this life. Well, I guess unless you're literally a professional wrestler, Shannon. I mean, I guess if you're a pro wrestler, you're probably wrestling against flesh and blood all the time. But
yeah.
Listen, don't we sometimes forget that? Don't we? I mean, we feel like we're wrestling with people. We feel like we're wrestling with people who treat us badly. People make us mad. They hurt our feelings, you know, in our personal lives, our family lives, at work. You know, politics is a hot-button subject, whether you're on the left or the right. But how many of us, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you feel like you are wrestling with the people on the other side. But nope, it's not people we are wrestling with. We aren't wrestling with flesh and blood. So, Brother Shannon, who are we wrestling with in this world?
We only have one enemy, and that's the devil. And he's already been stripped, and he's already defeated, and he is a defeated foe. And that's how we to look
that's
at
right.
him. And
Amen.
He's under our feet.
And according to Ephesians 6:12, so we are wrestling principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. and the spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Listen, we could, those are very, you know, different terms, different classes, if you will, but we could kind of simplify it by saying demonic forces and influences in this world. So let's ask this question again. Who are we wrestling with in this world? We're wrestling with principalities, powers, and the rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places, demonic forces and influences. So think about that. Ephesians 6:12, we are still in the same letter. I'm even talking with my hands. We're on the radio, Brother Shannon. I'm talking with my hands right now. It's still the same epistle, still the same letter to the church at Ephesus. So if we go back to chapter 1, remember, Jesus is seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named in this age, but also in that which is to come. So I'm hoping, Brother Shannon, I'm hoping that our listeners have some lights turning on right now.
Yes.
Because think about it. If Jesus is seated at the right hand of God and he's far above all those demonic forces and influences, right, those powers, and Ephesians 2:6, we are seated with Jesus, so we're seated at the right hand. That means that we, spiritually speaking, are seated far above every single one of these demonic forces, these demonic influences, all this demonic presence in this world. We are far above those. And 6:12, the very things that we quote-unquote wrestle with, we are far above. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Amen. Listen, it's not people that we create, that you know, it's not the people that create the strife and turmoil. It's the demonic influence behind the people that we are actually wrestling with. And we are seated with Christ far above all of those demonic forces with authority. With authority, you and I can overcome the devil in our day-to-day lives because Jesus already overcame the devil. He overcame the devil 2,000 years ago. Amen?
Amen.
Speaking of that, Brother Shannon, why don't you turn to Colossians 2:13-15 and read that?
I actually don't have my Bible with me right now.
Oh, brother, I am so sorry. I'm putting him on the spot here. All right. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13-15.
Yep, but the name of Jesus, it has power in heaven, earth, and under the earth. And the word of God and the name of Jesus is just as powerful today as it ever been, even when Jesus walked the earth.
Amen. The same power that Jesus walked around with, he gave us that authority by giving us the use of his name every day in our everyday lives, our everyday combat when we're dealing with the devil. And when I say dealing with the devil, we don't mean the devil walks up in front of you and goes, hey, you want to fight? Talking about when the devil tries to bring sickness on you or on your wife or on your husband or on your kids. Listen, he doesn't have that right. We are overcomers, and in the name of Jesus, we overcome. And sometimes, you know what? We got to stand in the gap, and we got to help our wives or our husband. Or we of course, got to help our kids. We got to protect our kids. But we have the most powerful weapon in the entire universe against the devil and everything he brings at you, the name of Jesus. Hey, Brother Chad, poverty and lack, is that from the devil?
Poverty is from the devil. Matter of fact, it's a curse of the law, sickness, poverty, and spiritual death. But we've been redeemed from that, according to Galatians 3:13.
Amen. So we've been redeemed from every curse of the law. I'm glad Brother Shannon brought that up, because Galatians 3:13, for you have been redeemed from the curse of the law, because Jesus became a curse, right? The curse of the law includes poverty, it includes lack, it includes sickness, it includes disease. You, a child of God, by Jesus' stripes, you are and were healed. The chastisement for your peace, which isn't just peace, it isn't about, you know, just I'm content, I'm happy, I don't have any turmoil, that's included, but peace is shalom. That includes wholeness of body, wholeness of mind, a prosperous journey, prosperity. Listen, all those things are included. Jesus took all of that. And by the way, you were redeemed from every curse of the law. And the curse of the law just simply means that when the children of Israel didn't follow God's law, there was a curse that came on them. And the curse was sickness, disease, poverty, lack, all kinds of things coming against them. We've been redeemed from every single one of those curses. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Colossians 2:13 through, by the way, that was a great rabbit trail. I love that. That is powerful, Brother Shannon. Colossians 2, verses 13 through 15 says, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us or against us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." First off, glory to God. Jesus did so much to purchase our salvation and our righteousness, our right standing with God. Brother Shannon, I think sometime you and I should talk about our righteousness, our right standing with God, because a lot of Christians yes. out there don't know that we can stand before God like we have never sinned. But that is a whole other topic. That sounds like a fun one, too.
Yeah, righteousness is a gift.
Yes, it is. It's a free gift.
Yes.
But I want to go to verse 15 here. It says, "Having disarmed principalities and powers." Do you see those words again? Principalities and powers. He disarmed them. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So if you see that, you see that he disarmed principalities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. Jesus triumphed over the devil and all of his power. But now, listen, I want you to think about this. If Jesus is triumphant over the devil, triumphant, easy for me to say, triumphant over the devil, over Satan, over evil, Brother Shannon, what does that mean? What must that also mean?
We just enforce Christ's victory. That's what we do.
That's right. It means you and I, as born-again believers in Christ, I don't care if you just got saved 30 minutes ago or 30 years ago, we are triumphant over the devil, over Satan, and over evil. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Amen.
The least person in the body of Christ has the same authority of the believer as the most mature saint.
That's right. That's right. It's you grow in grace. You grow in your knowledge of the Word of God and your relationship with God, but you're not growing in your authority. You're not growing in the fact that you're a new creation in Christ. You grow in your knowledge of it, but you don't grow in your authority. You have the same authority the first second you're born again than you do when you're 105 and you've been born again since you were 5. So 100 years, you have the same authority. Now, listen, at 105, you probably know more than when you were 5. And that's what comes with growing. And that's part of what this broadcast is all about. We're here teaching you, ministering what the Word of God says. We're not bringing you doctrine of any church denomination. This is strictly what's in the Bible, because you've got to know what's in the Bible. Listen, I want to bring out this point because I know we're a little over halfway through, but I want to really bring this point out. Listen, even though Jesus overcame the devil, positionally speaking, we're in Christ. We are his body. We've been made victorious over Satan and all his authority. If you and I don't know and exercise that authority, the devil will win against you or win against me, win against Brother Shannon. He will win every time because we don't take advantage of what belongs to us. But here's a good question, Brother Shannon. And I think some of y'all may be asking this right now because of the way we've been talking. Listen, shouldn't it just happen for us? I mean, listen, after all, wasn't it Jesus that defeated the devil? Shouldn't the devil and all of the things that he brings out of sickness, disease, poverty, lack, if the devil was defeated, shouldn't he just be powerless against me? Brother Shannon, that's a pretty good question, isn't it? Like, that's a logical question.
Yeah. Luke 10:19 said, "Behold, I give unto you power," or the New King James Version, the authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions. And notice the last part of this verse, "and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm or hurt you." We have power over all the power of the enemy, over all of Satan's kingdom. That we could take authority over him in Jesus' name. We could bind him, according to Matthew 18:18, and all heaven will back us up when we speak the name of Jesus.
Whoo, that is good right there. Listen, and he brought up a great point. He actually said this a couple times. He used the word if we use it. And how do we know to use it? Well, how do we use it? We have to know about it. Listen, it's a great question. And I know you all listen to us, can answer this to us, right? Who is so, Brother Shannon, who is salvation available to? Who is it available that who could receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior.
Whosoever.
Whew, that is right. Listen, whosoever. Listen, it's not limited to people who don't smoke or drink, who don't do drugs, people who start coming to church, people who get their lives right first, right? That's not, it's not limited. It, listen, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the who? The world, right? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, right? That, as Brother Shannon just said, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but would have eternal life. Whosoever. So listen, he died for the worst sinner you can think of, or the most perfect, quote-unquote, you know, you can't see me doing air quotes, perfect person you can think of, and all points in between. Salvation is available to anyone and everyone. But now here's a follow-up question. Does everyone receive that salvation? Does everyone, is everyone saved? Brother Shannon, is everyone saved?
Oh, no. No, but they can be. If
they absolutely can be. Absolutely. Everyone can be. Listen, why? Because first, they need to hear about salvation. They need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. They need to hear a salvation message of some kind, right? Whether it's at a church, it's on the streets, it's on TV, it's on a radio broadcast, could be anywhere, right? But they also have to take action and actually receive Jesus. Just because the Bible says something does not mean it's just going to fall on you like a rock hurtling at your windshield when you're driving along the highway, right? But, you know, you ever driving along the highway, you're on a back road or you're on an interstate, you're driving along, all of a sudden you just, a rock just hit your windshield and suddenly you got a little chip, right? The promises and truths in God's word don't just hit you in the windshield on accident. You have to find out for yourself what's in God's word. And listen, that's part of the job of people like your pastors and like Brother Shannon and myself. That's part of our job as well. You and I must know what's in the word of God. Brother Shannon, what do you think about that?
Yeah, Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
That's right. And a few verses later says, for the, in verse 17 says, for the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it says that we are saved by grace through faith. So we're saved by believing. Faith is, it's confident, is a believing, right? It's your faith in God as you believe what God said, you believe in God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we have to hear the message. Listen, we have talked very much here at the end. We talked very much here in the end about how important it is to be born again, right? You cannot have any authority in Christ, right? You have no authority in Christ. The devil has authority over you if you are not born again, if you are not a child of God, if you are not a new creation in Christ, like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone or any man or any woman is in Christ, they are a new creature or new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, we've referenced being born again in a believer several times. Now, I'm talking to you all out there. I'm not talking to the folks who already know Jesus and you're serving God and you love God. I'm talking about the folks. So this is the first time you've heard anything like this, or you go to church, but you've never fully engaged in what it means to be a believer. Listen, you may do a lot of good things for other people. You would call yourself a good person. Hey, Brother Shannon, other people would call them a good person. You might even go to church faithfully. I mean, we all know people like that who go to church faithfully, right? But Romans 10, 9, and 10. So Brother Shannon brought up Romans 10, 13, right? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Paul writing a letter to the Roman church. 10, 9, and 10, so just a few verses before, says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How do we obtain salvation? How do we become born again? We just read it. We confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. Folks, doing good deeds and helping others doesn't make you his child. Going to church doesn't save you. And yes, these are obviously good things. But only confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead saves you. Now listen, you're listening to us right now, you're listening to the sound of our voice, if you aren't 100%, and I mean 100% sure, if you died today, whether or not you would be with Jesus Christ in heaven, you can leave this broadcast knowing, and I mean knowing, you are born again with all of the, glory to God, with all the authority and the position in Christ Jesus that we have been talking about. It is so easy, yet it is the single most important decision you will ever make. Now, why do I say it's the single most important decision you'll ever make? Brother Shannon, what do you think? Why would that be the most important decision you ever make?
Because eternity depends on it.
Oh, my, I couldn't have said that any better. I mean, how long are we on this planet, Brother Shannon? How long are we here?
What was that?
I said, how long are we here on this planet? You know, are we here 60, 70, 120 years? Or, you know, how long are we here on this planet compared to eternity?
Yeah. You know, once you're in eternity, 100 years, you only began. Once you're there 1 million years, you only began. Once you're there 1 billion years, eternity just began.
That's why it's the single most important decision you will ever make while living on this planet. But I also mentioned it's really easy. If you've never received Jesus and you want to, I'm going to pray a prayer right now, and all I want you to do is repeat the prayer with me. So just repeat this after me. I'm going to say something, and then you're going to repeat it and pray it with me. I want you to say, Jesus, I believe you died for my sins, and you were raised from the dead. I ask you to come into my life right now. Thank you for new life. Jesus, thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to say first off, congratulations. You are a born-again new creation in Jesus Christ. You now, right now, this very second, have the same amount of authority that Brother Shannon and I have, that other Christians have. You now have authority over the devil. You are a new creation in Christ. You are seated with Jesus in the heavenly places. You are seated far above all the principalities, powers, all the demonic influences, all the demonic entities, sickness, disease, poverty. I don't care what it is. You are seated with Jesus. And Brother Shannon brought it up earlier. You are now in a position to always, Brother Shannon, always triumph in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, listen, also, one more thing, too. If you did receive Jesus for the first time just now, Brother Shannon, I would absolutely love to hear from you. Send us an email. Just say, hey, Brother Howard, Brother Shannon, I received Jesus. I prayed that prayer with you for the first time. You don't even have to say anything else if you want to. You're welcome to say nothing else or say a bunch else. You can send a long email, whatever you want to. But just send it to Same Spirit of Faith, all one word, Same Spirit of Faith at proton.me. And that proton is proton.me. So send us an email and just tell us. We would love to rejoice with you. We might even send you a free book or two just to kind of get you started. Now, the little recording in my ears, Brother Shannon, just said we got about 90 seconds left. Why don't you talk about some of the things we're going to talk about next week with the authority of the believer? Because we're going to keep going with this subject.
Yeah, we're going to keep going to the, ever have the Holy Spirit lead us, and we're going to continue on. Reach out to us, and we'll try to put you in a good Bible-believing church under a good pastor. If you don't have a Bible, let us know. We'll send you get one. And we'll try to get some material into your hands.
Absolutely. You know what? That is a good call. I didn't even think about that. Listen, we will help you find a good Bible-believing church. And by the way, if you email us, I've got, Brother Shannon, you didn't know this about me. I've got cases of Bibles. I will send it to you literally free of charge. You won't have to pay shipping. Like, you know, a lot of times you get those free things in the mail and say, just pay shipping. Nope, give me your address. I will send it to you free of charge 100%. You'll have a Bible. We're happy to help and get you into a good Bible-believing church. Amen.
Amen.
Well, folks, I think we got about 30 seconds left or whatever. Just to kind of just let you know in case you tuned in late, I'm Brother Howard Novasky. My wife and I are itinerant ministers in Northwest Arkansas out of Fayetteville, Arkansas. This is Brother Shannon Fife. And we're just excited that you joined us on Same Spirit of Faith Radio. We'll see you next week again. God bless you all.
Amen. Are you still there, Howard?